You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Matt Wilhelm, Dave DiNatale. Not in the Dog Bowl, live at the Galleria Studio at 850 WKNR, ESPN Cleveland. While we await the call-in by Dwayne Bowe, new wide receiver of the Cleveland Browns, we will hit the some other bit of news. The Ravens have agreed to a deal to make Matt Schaub Joe Flacco's backup, and that was reported by Peter King.
Yeah.
Peter, so it's very interesting.
You know, because you look at it now, it was going to be Flacco, and did they want Flacco and Keith Wenning, you know, as the backup? So now you have a little bit of insurance there and a veteran guy, so it makes sense.
The other thing that I'd like to warn you of is a reading here by Elk and Elk. If an auto or motorcycle accident has caused you injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Again, we await the call-in by Dwayne Bowe, and I'm excited to talk to him.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that he's been rumored as an upgrade of Miles Austin. I think Brian Hartline, to me, is more of an upgrade of what Miles Austin was able to do. Whereas Dwayne Bowe, to me, would be a true one wide receiver.
Yeah, big, you know, has the size of a one receiver. Has had 60 catches or more in just about every season he's played. So I think he's more of the prototypical big receiver you're looking for. On Twitter, John Tiedemann tweets at us at JTide23. Guys, everyone talks about how bad Manziel was in the six quarters he played in, though everyone seems to forget how bad the offensive line was without Mac. If Mac was healthy, the team would have played better. Not sure how much, but would have had some time at least under center.
Well, better for Johnny Manziel, but also, too, maybe even better for Brian Hoyer. Because
there's no doubt.
A lot of the struggles, you know, that Brian Hoyer had, whether they were in his head or on the football field, came because there was a lack of a running game. There was a lack of continuity, I thought, you know, offensively. And then when it comes to Johnny Manziel, I don't believe that Kyle Shanahan did him any favors. For Johnny to come in on that Tuesday and put in that extra amount of work and I was there past midnight. You can't cram for a test, which is going out on the football field and executing versus other professionals. And I thought that the pistol formation was a joke. I thought Johnny Manziel, leave him alone in the backfield.
Right.
Don't bring more bodies to him. So it's just very interesting to see. And you know what I'll do, you know, right now as we await the call-in for Dwayne Bowe, hopefully he jumps on board here very soon, is I want your perspective. And this is a question that I've asked, you know, every analyst that we've had called in the show in the past 10 days, 2 weeks.
Okay.
Since the Browns have last, been very aggressive in free agency in that second week is, first question is, do you think that our draft board has changed since we signed those free agents?
A little bit. Do I think now they have the urgency to take a receiver with one of those first two picks, whereas maybe they might have before? Yeah, I think maybe it's changed a little bit. Now, I think the focus is now between the tackles.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that being said is, and we've actually done this on a show, you are Ray Farmer. After you know what you just went out and signed via free agency, you know the amount of money that you put into certain players. What do you do at 12-19 if you were Ray Farmer and had the keys to the ship right now?
What I would, if I were Ray Farmer, I love that question. If I were Ray Farmer, if I were Ray Farmer, I would still draft a wide receiver because I'm a big advocate. This team needs, you know, I think as important as it is to be strong, I think this team still needs threats and big play abilities. But if they could get Devontae Parker with the 12, I would love it. Sign me up. I think he, along with Bowe and Hartline, and then you have Hawk, sign me up for that receiving core. I think you've got something there. And then with 19, probably then I go with your best. I'm a big believer. I really do want to see them get a nose tackle or somebody on the defensive line. Shelton probably is gone at that point. Okay, you get the next available guy on the board, or you go for Max Williams, the tight end.
Do you think Max Williams at 19 is a stretch? Because I know that I believe Andrew Gribble, senior staff writer for the Cleveland Browns, believes it is. Nathan Zagura believes it is. Would you be opposed to moving back to, say, 24, 25, 26?
Picking up an extra pick,
and still grabbing Max Williams?
I would be fine with that.
Yeah.
If I thought I could do that and still get the guy I wanted to, and let's see, if you're moving back six spots in the first round, I mean, What are you looking at? A second round, maybe a third round
pick?
Yeah,
maybe a third or fourth round pick.
Yeah, I would do that.
So that'd be three picks in the fourth round.
Yeah, I would do that.
And then two in the third.
Yeah, I would do that.
I would do that too. Well, you know what? We're still awaiting Dwayne Bowe. I'll throw it out there right now. We'll open up the call lines again. 216-578-0850, or you can tweet at the show, @Browns_daily. You can talk, you know, questions for Dwayne Bowe. We've got 12-19. We're now 30 days away from the draft. And also, too, the one thing that we only got to a little bit yesterday when, you know, Jim Donovan sat in this very chair, well, not this chair, but the lead chair.
The lead chair,
as host of Cleveland Browns Daily, was your reaction to Textgate. And that's something that we can dive into right now. When it comes to the Cleveland Browns, I do have to say it was great to know, simply because of what was brought down on the Atlanta Falcons, was a heftier fine, $350,000 versus the $250,000 to the organizations. But the fifth-round pick that was taken from the Atlanta Falcons, not in this year's draft, but in next year's draft. So that was and I know there was much speculation between really Big Show and, you know, the interviews with Tony Grossi, a part of every show, that everybody thought they were going to be severe. It was going to be multiple picks. And at one point, rumored that a second and a fourth in this year's draft. Do you think a lot of that has to do with a little bit of flexibility being given to these organizations simply because the draft is so close, and not only taking a second or fourth pick is detrimental to an organization, but 35 days away.
Yeah, this year. That would be really tough to do. But whenever you say the word severe penalty to me, you know, that led me to think draft pick, that they were going to throw the whole smorgasbord at the Browns. Draft pick, fine, suspension. Well, they just got the fine and the suspension, but not the draft pick. I think you're penalizing the franchise with the fine. You penalize the one who was responsible for the text and Ray Farmer with the suspension. I think it's fair. The Browns didn't get a competitive advantage by virtue of the text, which is why I think they didn't go ahead and slap the Browns with a forfeiture of draft picks. It is a deterrent for teams going forward not to send electronic messages during the course of games. So I think the league accomplished that goal. So I think, you know, I thought about, boy, the league feels sorry for Cleveland because we have had a difficult offseason. So like, we'll take it easy and not do the draft pick. I mean, Matt, I was prepared for almost anything.
Was too. And the one thing, though, as reports came out of Arizona at the league meetings that the penalties were going to be severe, the one thing that I held true with as I called into the Really Big Show and talked to Riz and Jerod last week when we knew they were going to be severe and the rumors were second and fourth, you know, I threw out severe to me with what was at stake and what we had done, or the mistakes that was made by Ray Farmer were, you know, the texting down to the sideline. I said 250 grand and nothing higher than a fourth round pick. And I thought it would have been this year simply because I thought the rumors were outlandish of second and fourth this year for that type of penalty. And I'll get to my point in a minute. But I also, too, I read into the words that Roger Goodell said when he compared the two, Atlanta and the Cleveland problems, is competitive advantage in one, non-competitive advantage in other. So, yes, rules were broken in both cases, which is why the penalties were, in some cases, more significant for Atlanta and less significant and more about the individual.
Yeah.
And as I said yesterday, the $250,000 lost to the team, yes, you know, that's a lot of money, but not to a multi-billion dollar business like it is in the NFL. But Ray Farmer, and I don't know what he's making, may actually lose out more than $250,000 for those four games.
That's a month's worth of pay. So, you know, it's you know, Browns fans can whistle a happy tune because they're not being the team isn't being forfeited draft picks, but this is going to affect, you know, Ray Farmer more than just, you know, people being disappointed in him, the coaching, you know, all the internal things that go on. I mean, this is a hefty fine in his wallet for being fined for four game checks, essentially.
It absolutely is, and I'll pose this question to you as well. Do you believe this affects his relationship inside the building more or outside the building more? Meaning his relationship with other general managers via trade, and other players who are free agents wanting to come here to Cleveland because of the dark cloud that it shines, not only on the Browns, because that's kind of been pushed to the side, but more so on him as an individual, not wanting to negotiate with him, not wanting to come to an organization like that.
Yeah.
Or also, too, a trust factor that if I'm not performing on the field, my general manager may, in fact, be texting about me too.
Yeah, behind me. Yeah, texting about me behind my back. I'm gonna say, though, I think it's going to be harder to repair the external damage as opposed to the internal damage? Because really, to me, the thing that matters the most on the internal thing, part of it, is reestablishing trust with Mike Pettine. After that, everything else will take care of itself. Mike Pettine just needs to know that Ray Farmer has his back and sure. that they're going in the same direction. To me, after that, everything else in the building will take care of itself if the coach and the GM are in lockstep. Yeah, do I think that, you know, if we had gotten the penalty on this earlier, or, you know, would it affect free agency or team's willingness to deal with Ray Farmer? Yeah, it might. It might. But, I think that's going to be a little bit harder, I think, is the external damage as opposed to the internal.
And just to bring everything full circle, and I know we had a caller call in early to talk about that, you know, that same premise that you're a joke if you're having these types of issues. And only teams at the bottom of the barrel have these types of issues, the cheating, the this, the that. But then also, too, as we've brought up, and you brought them up as an example from a free agency, from acquiring talent position, is the New England Patriots. They're under scrutiny for the second time
yeah.
when it comes to cheating. And, oh, by the way, the fine, to be specific, it was $500,000 to Bill Belichick, the head coach,
yeah.
back at, what was it, Videogate? No, it wasn't Videogate.
It was Spygate.
Spygate, sorry. It was $500,000 to him. I believe it was $250,000 to the team.
To the team.
And then they lost their first-round pick
yeah.
that year.
Yes.
So you want to talk about severity. And mind you, when you have a guy like Tom Brady – and Bill Belichick, who essentially $500,000 and what he's accomplished in the National Football League is a drop in the bucket, you know, you can jump right back on
the Bob Kraft discretionary fund.
Yeah,
I'm sure could take care of
that. You can jump right back on the pony and compete in the playoffs. So there are many organizations out there that are doing whatever they can to stay relevant and continue to win. And I think in some cases, this was Ray Farmer's personality shining through via text message,
yeah.
not general manager of the Cleveland Browns or a representation of the Cleveland Browns shining through.
I've never doubted that, you know, the intent of it from Ray Farmer was he just wants to win. He wants to see all the work that he and his staff do turn out to you know, parlay to victories and success on the field. And when it's not happening, yeah, I think we all, you know, become irrational fans sometimes. And you know, I've never doubted that Ray Farmer's intentions have always been for the good of the organization. But sometimes, you know, you have that moment where, I joked about this on the Bruce Hooley show yesterday. How many times have we all sent an email or sent a text and said, ooh, I wish I would have done that.
Yes.
Ooh, I wish you know, it happens. It was a mistake. It was bad. But, you know, he understands it's bad. The Browns understand it's bad. And now they're in a position where, we're finally really – I feel like now I'm really ready to talk about the draft and what's to come for the Browns and not to dwell so much on what's happened in the first 3 months of this offseason.
I absolutely agree. And as we, you know, we close here to break, the one thing that I'd like to say is the fact that if Dre Farmer at the end of April and early May knocks that draft out of the park, this is an absolute foregone conclusion to what it means to the Cleveland Browns because he's added so much value yep. and competition to our roster. So
we're not talking. Texgate will be a distant memory
until he leaves our organization
exactly.
for 4 weeks. You know, at the end of August. So, Matt Wilhelm, Dave DiNatale, live here in the Galleria Studio with you.
Where are you, Dwayne Bowe? Call us.
Yeah, call us, Dwayne.
Call
Bowe.
Us, Dwayne. We want to talk to you.
We want to hear you. We got great questions, great feedback from our fans. Continue to keep that feedback coming. 216-578-0850. Tweet the show at Browns_daily. Again, Matt Wilhelm, Dave DiNatale on ESPN 850 WKNR. But I'm not that-